Planning Commission. My name is Vern Crowe, and I am the chairman of the commission. Telephonically, we have Commissioner Cole and Commissioner Nyberg on the phone. We have an excused absence, John Crowe. And here with me are Commissioner Wilfong and Commissioner Nowakowski. And we have a presentation this evening by Mr. Maeda. Mr. Maeda, would you like to take over?
Yes, gladly, Mr. Chair. The topic has to do with tire shops and the issues associated with it. Not all of them, but quite a few of them, as it pertains to the appearance and as it pertains to the code-related issues, maybe their violations and so forth. So to give you a little bit of background, this body has also suggested in the past for us to take a look at it. I think Commissioner Nowakowski, you had brought it up at least once while I've been here, and somebody else might have brought it up even before that.
It's car sales, not tire shops.
Okay, cars, was it cars?
I think I was in tire sales.
Minor tire repair. Oh, thank you, Mr. Wolfong. At some point in time, the city council had expressed a very similar desire for some resolution to what's going on. How are we regulating the operations and the appearance of minor auto repair, or in some cases they just call it tire shops, because that's the most prevalent issue that's there. The issue that they identified was then directed to the city's code compliance division. Code compliance division was entrusted to see how would they be addressing issues such as storage areas, screening of stored materials, landscaping, signage, parking. Are they really complying with what they're supposed to be doing? So they went out and did some scanning studies. They chose the area, initially, they chose the area like a pilot study, 43rd to 67th and Glendale South to Camelback, and identified several issues. After having done that, they went, and more recently they've started the Glendale Avenue stretch, but in the past they've also done 59th for that same 2 mile alignment. For example, on 59th Avenue they identified 33 of those kinds of cases, and they are not necessarily citing every one of them, but there are observations, there are warnings that are issued, and then they come back in a few days and see if it has been corrected, if it's a minor issue. Then they're now focusing on Glendale Avenue. I don't have the numbers with me either right now of how many were cited or how many they had looked at, but they looked at quite a few. So it's an ongoing issue right now, and hopefully there should be some better enforcement and therefore a better outcome out once staff has reached out to them. So what's that got to do with the Planning Commission and the Planning Department staff? So here's a little bit of background, and I apologize if this is something that you already know. I don't mean to suggest that you wouldn't have, but just to lay the foundation on this. Tire shops fall under the category of a minor auto repair. In the code, sometimes it spells out as tire shops, but in other parts of the code, it might also refer to as minor auto repair. These are allowed by right in three zoning districts, C3, which is heavy commercial, M1 and M2, light industrial and heavy industrial. However, they can also be allowed in some other districts through a conditional use permit, CUP. Conditional use permit is approved exclusively by the Planning Commission. So the other zoning districts that could allow it with a CUP are four: Shopping Center District, C1, which is neighborhood commercial, C2, which is general commercial, and CSC, community shopping centers. When Code Compliance Division was entrusted with this job to go and reach out to all these tire shops, based on the council's direction, they came across a few instances where they said, oh, wait a minute, this is a C2 zoning district, should have had a CUP, but they don't. So they asked planning staff if they found one or two of these, could there be more of these situations? They would like to know if that in fact is a zoning violation of sorts and could be treated a bit differently than if those who are already entitled but haven't complied with either landscaping or signage, one of those situations. So a lot of effort went into this particular exercise, and it took us a considerable amount of time, a couple of months at least, maybe more than that. Alex Lerma here is the one who did a lot of deep down digging into files that we thought didn't even exist, but he managed to go quite a bit deep. And we started with a list which was given to us with an understanding that they've already been given a business license. If they've got a business license, but somehow they were not reviewed to see if they've got the CUP. So we discovered there were quite a few situations like that. There might be other instances where we failed to identify there was a need for a CUP. When I say we, I mean collectively, city organization. There are different departments that are reviewing different things. Maybe they came in for a sign permit. Sign permit might have been reviewed, approved. Nobody checked to see did they have a CUP, if they needed one. There might be an instance where an interpretation by a previous administrator many years ago might have suggested that I don't think it falls under minor auto repair, and therefore it's not exactly the same, and that interpretation might have caused staff at that time to not require a CUP. There could be many examples like that, and that's not an excuse, that's just the way we think it could have probably happened, that certain uses which would by today's standards have required a CUP, but they were not. So we looked into it and see how prevalent is the situation. And fortunately it isn't, that's a good thing about it. So what Alex Lerma here was given a list of 41 businesses, and it's not just pertaining to this small area of the 6 square miles. Now we are looking at the entire city.
Sorry, you said 41?
41 were...
And 33 sites were the ones...
No, I'm sorry. Don't mix those two numbers.
What was the 33?
The 33 was observations that code enforcement already did on 59th Avenue.
Okay, just 50.
Yeah.
Okay.
When they went on a scan to see it.
Gotcha.
Totally different exercise. Now it's in the planning realm. And what Alex got from code compliance was a list of 41 businesses. And they said, check to see. We don't know for sure, but we aren't convinced that they've got everything right. Could you look at it? The majority of all of those fall in a category where they are okay by right. They had the right zoning. They had the CUP perhaps as well. Quite a few of them, had earlier entitlements from a previous code where the code allowed it to happen before 1993 or before 1998 when text amendments were done. So they were legal then, but by today's standards, they would not be. They were not required to have a CUP back in those days. But by today's standards, they would have been required to do it. So they are legal non-conforming. That's the definition of legal non-conforming. You come across those in many cases over here where a prior zoning code approved it, but if they were to redo it all over again, it probably wouldn't qualify. What Alex's research found was that there were only 4 that happened to be in the C2 category, does not have a CUP. And they aren't as far back in time as when they could qualify as the legal non-conforming. So they happened maybe 15 years ago and some 19 or even 20 years ago. But definitely in the realm of our existing zoning code. So we are posed with this issue of how can code enforcement go forward with those particular cases. There are some discussions that we are having now with the attorney's office, because it's not as easy as saying, hey, let's invite them, ask them to get their conditional use permit. Because they've been in existence for such a long time, and they've been in existence with the blessings of either our business license issued, or perhaps a sign permit issued. They've been paying their fees. They've been registered as good businesses for the longest time. So not to suggest that there's a statute of limitations associated with it, but they have been existing and doing business for a considerable amount of time. Where do they exactly fall into it? Are they also perhaps, in a sense, legal non-conforming? Because we've let it go for such a long time. So if once we get a bit more clarification on where this stands from a legal process, we have probably two avenues. One of them could be that yes, you can entertain them and go forward with a conditional use permit, assist them in getting that, or treat them as legal non-conforming. It's one or the other. We aren't there yet. I just needed to let you know that this is where the process is.
Well, it would seem to me that we kind of need to make this right. They're out of compliance due to the current standards and not because of when they opened their business. And it sounds like they're good businesses. I mean, they've been doing business and they don't have issues, is that correct? Other than this?
Well, Mr. Chair, we haven't attested to it how good the business, or we wouldn't know how to qualify it, but they've been in existence doing their business for a considerable period of time.
But is there any problem with them that you're aware of?
If there are any, I think the Code Compliance Division wanted to wait and see what is our solution, whether they need to have a new CUP issued to them, or should they be treated legal non-conforming and have the zoning code be applicable on them, even though they do not have a CUP.
But before you would do that, would you not make sure that they are
reputable?
Thank you.
I'm sorry, the word?
Reputable.
Oh.
But it sounds like they would be, or they wouldn't be there 15 years later. You know, I'm sure that they're probably fine, but.
The issues that code compliance group would typically go for is parking in locations where they shouldn't. Mm-hmm. Their signage exceeds the standard. Their storage of tires is in plain view of the right-of-way. Things like that do not need a conditional use permit for it to be fixed, because that would be a requirement anyways,
right,
through the zoning ordinance.
And that'd be something that they could fix.
So they only paused simply because there was a realization that, oh, a particular element of the zoning, the CUP entitlement, is missing. Mm-hmm. Let's explore it. Having explored it now, we are also discovering that, well, okay, they don't have a CUP, but they've been operating exactly as though they had one before, with the blessings of the city through the business license or the sign permit, or an interpretation by the previous administrator. So, in recognition of all those facts, they are a legitimate business, but somehow intentionally or unintentionally did not go through a process, or were not guided into the process by staff to secure a CUP.
Okay.
So I'm just giving you a fact as it's known to us. We ourselves aren't convinced or aren't aware of exactly which path we can take. We wouldn't want to put this body and the city in a situation where we are calling them in when they might believe, or their attorneys might believe, that they already have secured the right to be a tire shop because they've been operating for so many years.
Right.
That part of additional research is still ongoing, and we will seek guidance from the attorney's office on that.
Mr. Chair?
Commissioner Cole?
Jamshid, is there a cross-reference or some kind of a way, or is this even a thing, where if the business license transfers, changes hands, if the business is sold, I'm assuming some of them are renters and don't own the property, if the property changes hands, is there some way to cross-reference that and that be a trigger to have them come forward for the proper permit?
There is an opportunity, Mr. Chair and Commissioner Cole. There is an opportunity there, because when one comes in with her new, for a new business license under new management, that's an opportunity to definitely consider that. Once again, with a little caveat that if it's a tire shop and it continues to be a new tire shop, a lot of the similarities are there. The only change happens to be the name of the owner of the business, but it is still an opportunity to guide them at that point in time. So some corrective actions internally need to be set, and we are working on that to ensure that as licenses come in, procedurally is the planning staff being made aware of it.
Are you good, Commissioner Cole?
Thank you.
I have one question. This is not what we're talking about right now, but I was on the code committee, and signage and storage and temporary sign or temporary displays was one of the issues, but we never got to finish on that part of the thing. Do you have the list of what's required of them, or what is going to be a violation, or can we get that? Because I mean, one of the issues was, you know, a lot of these places have, you know, painted tires all out front, and they're using it as signage. Is that going to be eliminated? Because it does look like a, you know, an eyesore, you know. And then the storage of tires when they're 10 feet above the fence is another one. Then the display of tires. Now, is that all laid out already, or how is that being handled? Because it sounds like, you know, we're addressing the issues.
So, Commissioner Wilfong, I think in that regard, what we have in the code is how the code compliance officers are going to look at, and if in fact it's way more signage than what would have been allowed, or the place in on which they've placed a sign or painted a name is an issue, then those would be considered. If you're looking for it, we can ask the code compliance folks what are the sections that they are looking at. And
well, and I thought the business group of the code compliance committee was going to come up with a new standard for signage.
Yes.
Now, did they come up with that standard?
So the business council, which and incidentally wrapped up and was terminated just an hour or two ago in this meeting here, they have had input into the sign section of the entire zoning document.
Right.
So there are changes associated with what's in the code today versus what's being recommended. It's not wholesale changes, but There are changes.
Yeah, I would like to see what's considered a violation now, if I could get a copy of that.
Like at the next meeting?
You know, you do it in an email or something like that, or just kind of like pass it to
I
the commission?
Through the planning commission,
okay.
Yes.
Chair. Commissioner Nowakowski.
What's the process from here, from after this meeting? Is there one?
As it regards to this particular issue, as I said, when we confirm exactly what rights have already been assumed by these businesses by virtue of them being in operation for so long. Depending on the best advice that we get, we will let you know where things stand, because I'm telling you there are a few that we identified which don't have a CUP. You would want to know how we are doing it. If in the case that we do think maybe it's all right to have them get a CUP in addition to all these years that they've operated without it, then we will reach out to those and work with them. Now, separately, by the city council's actions, as they were very interested in getting to see these tire shops being taken care of, in their words, they even suggested that if one of these entities need to be brought in, you can exempt them from paying a fee and go through the process, just get it done. So we've got that level of council's involvement and recognition of the fact that we should do something about it. If we are going that route, we will let you know that we are reaching out to them, bringing them in to do a mass CUP for all of those who need it. But there's a good chance we don't need to go there once we understand what rights they already enjoy.
I'm done.
You good?
Martin? Oh, yeah. I mean, this is until legal figures out everything, irons it out. Okay. Not much to talk about, except if they already have a business license without a CUP, it's legal nonconforming. And my, outside of that, just personally, I would just tread carefully, and I think you guys are doing excellent, because it could be sensitive, because there's llanterías, not just tire shops, llanterías that are minority owned, Hispanic, Spanish speaking owned. And the last thing we want to have is City of Glendale being perceived as going against those people. So it is an issue. So I don't have much problem with legal nonconforming, as long as there's an option for them to, you know, maintain their business in a proper manner.
Okay. Commissioner Cole, are you good? Commissioner Nyberg, are you all right?
Yep, I'm perfectly fine with all this.
Okay, I guess that's it.
Thank you.
Mr. Gruber.
Thank you, Chair and members of the Commission. So, usually when I am asked to speak on legal items, my mind goes to the open meeting law, conflicts of interest presentation, spiel. But as you all remember, this Commission heard that presentation back in February.
Yes.
Any of the members who are newer to the Commission heard a one-on-one version of that mm-hmm. same presentation, and so
right.
didn't seem as though there was any need for me to repeat any of those items. So what I tried to do instead was to put together a list of frequently asked questions that I've seen both from this commission and then in my previous job when I was at the City of Surprise and working with the Planning Commission there. So I have a brief PowerPoint, and I just highlighted a few of the questions that I've seen in the past. You can see up there, so my first question is regarding driving by the site of a project to check out the project, check out the traffic, the adjacent developments, and those kinds of things, and is that okay? And so my—
Excuse me, Mr. Gruber.
Sure.
Is it possible to share that screen with us?
Come on, magic fingers.
We're looking to Diana. If not, I can read you the questions. They're pretty short.
So either way, if that's not a possibility, that—
This one?
And how do you open it up? Now, where's the share thing?
share is...
It's already in green.
Share screen.
It's in the...
There you go.
And that's this one?
Yeah.
That's the one.
Thank you.
Double click on it.
And then...
Yes.
Okay. Can you see it?
Thank you very kindly.
Awesome.
Great, so that's working, okay.
Nice job.
Yeah, so, nice job. Yeah.
Thank you to that.
I was impressed.
So back to the question, is it okay to drive by the site to check out the project? And my short answer is yes, that is certainly fine. Our recommendation in the city attorney's office is that if you choose to do that, that's fine, just disclose that on the record when the item comes before you. Just make that part of the record that, hey, I took a drive by the site, you know, here's any quick observations that you want to share, and then that item is disclosed. So then, second question, is it okay for me to go to the community outreach meeting for a project that is coming before the commission? And again, my answer is yes, that is okay. It's not necessarily encouraged by our department, but as some of you know, I think this occurred recently, some commissioners wanted to attend an outreach meeting. Our concerns, and the reason I say that it's not necessarily encouraged, although it's legally permissible, is just that it can give parties who might oppose the decision ultimately of the Planning Commission and City Council, if applicable, that, you know, information came into the process that was outside of the regular meetings, and that was not necessarily proper. Also, when you're in attendance in meetings like that, there raises the possibility of an open meeting violation if, you know, some commissioners happen to be talking to each other or got pulled into a conversation. I know when this occurred recently that the commissioners who chose to attend an outreach meeting kind of stayed in the back and didn't participate. And certainly, if you are going to attend a meeting of this type, that's a good practice. So next question is, hey, legal department or staff, we're stuck on a procedural issue during a meeting. What does Robert's Rules say, and doesn't Robert's Rules settle the matter? So my answer in this case may surprise you, that nothing in the city code or the Planning Commission's rules of procedure actually adopt Robert's Rules. So I don't think it's really happened since I've been here, but I remember in my previous job when I was in Surprise, people would sometimes ask questions as though, you know, we're going to go straight to Robert's Rules to answer a question. And Robert's Rules can inform us as to what we might want to do with any particular issue or procedural matter, but it doesn't necessarily settle a matter. Often, ultimately, that's kind of up to the way that the chair and the commission wants to approach a given item. So next question is, can we go into executive session? Well, you know the answer to that, obviously, is yes, we just did one as a commission not very many meetings ago. So this question actually is pertaining more to the situation in which we're rolling through a meeting and an item comes up, and it's not a situation where we plan to go into an executive session. This is a situation where something comes up and you feel like maybe it's, you know, might be something that you want to do. So the short answer is that yes, assuming that we've got the agenda properly written, which we always do here in Glendale, we can move into an executive session for legal advice from attorneys. But I wouldn't say that this is necessarily a recommended practice. Obviously, something we could work through on the fly if it came up. But as you probably have noticed, to the extent possible, I like to try to answer your questions while we're rolling through the meeting. It would really kind of have to be probably an extreme or unusual situation where we would, you know, take the extreme step of voting to go into an executive session and move into another space or what have you in order to do that. But obviously we can, you know, cross that bridge if we ever come to it. And then finally, this is legal matter, so I figured you might want to get an update very quickly about Catlin Court. This is just for information and not discussion, and everything I will tell you is publicly record, publicly available already. So if you may recall, the case was being considered by the Maricopa County Superior Court. The city filed an appeal over just some of the discovery issues to the Arizona Court of Appeals. And so the discovery issues were, are there going to be a deposition? Are we going to continue with the written questions that were coming to the city? So on and so forth. And the city argued that that wasn't proper under case law, and the Court of Appeals ended up agreeing with that position. They vacated the trial court's orders regarding discovery and then returned it to the Superior Court, the trial court, just a few weeks ago. So yesterday, we actually had a scheduling conference with the Superior Court, and they set up a briefing schedule in order to resolve the case. So each party will file briefs arguing for its side of the case, and everything appears on track for a final decision in late March or April of next year. So that is everything I had on that. And then with that, any questions?
I don't hear any. I do have one thing to add, an oversight on my part when we started the meeting. We do have one unexcused absence, Daniel Heath, Commissioner Heath. I was not contacted, so I'm not really sure what happened, but he is absent, so. And I think, Jump Sheet, are you completed? Are you done?
I'm done. I think Tabitha would want to make a quick note, please.
Yeah. Just to add on what Jim Gruber just gave you, the update for Catlin Court. Tentatively, we're preparing to bring the Catlin Court PAD amendment back before a planning commission with the first meeting in December, followed by tentatively going before City Council in the month of January.
Guys. Commissioner Cole, Commissioner Nyberg, anything?
Nope, I'm good. Thank you.
I'm good as well. Thank you.
I got a question. Tabitha, this whole thing took 32 minutes. I wonder why we didn't do this before our next meeting. Why do we have to have a special workshop, bring all these guys in here, go through all this, when we could have done it before the next meeting? I'm puzzled.
Yes, Chairperson Crowe, Commissioners, tentatively when we first scheduled the workshop, the objective was to have on the agenda for the tire shops and then follow up with the meeting with the consultants to start doing the workshop on the updated zoning ordinance. But then that didn't quite pan out to the scheduling time that we predicted for this workshop. So the next option was to figure out or determine what other components will be beneficial for the Planning Commission, and that was for Jim Gruber to go over some legal matters. We couldn't project how long the time frame would actually be. Looking at it now, obviously we probably could have done it sooner, but we just wasn't sure how much time it was going to take.
Well, and I get it, but needless to say, if we could do this, if we've got a 30-minute workshop, and we could do it before a meeting, we'd rather do that than bring everybody in here for 30 minutes. You guys have anything else? Commissioners? Vice Chair? Anybody?
Go Cardinals.
No, Mr. Chairman, I'm good.
No, I appreciated the updates and the advice from you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Gruber. Thank you, Tabitha. Mr. Maida, thank you very much. Mr. Lerma, I'm sorry you came all the way down here and didn't have much to say, but we welcome you anyway.
No problem. Thank you.
Diana, thank you for setting this up and getting all this coordinated. Okay. With no further business, the chair will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion to adjourn in a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. I was going to second, but my mute button keeps moving.
Okay, opposed. Okay, meeting adjourned.
Thanks, everybody. Have a good evening.
Thank you. Hey, guys. Thank you.